Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, music and conversation with one of New Orleans' musical gems, Grammy winner Irma Thomas, will be next. But first, in the past, environmental groups considered New Orleans one of the most environmentally degraded cities in the country. After Hurricane Katrina hit 2 years ago, conditions only got worse. Now, some community members and organizations are using the post-Katrina cleanup to push for a cleaner, greener approach for the city. And many are bringing their green ideas to the Lower Ninth Ward, among the areas hardest hit by the hurricane. Joining us to talk about the next big thing in green rebuilding is Charles Allen III. He is the president of the Holy Cross Neighborhood Association in the Lower Ninth Ward, and he joins us from New Orleans. Also with us is Matt Peterson, the president of Global Green. It's a nonprofit organization that's building green homes in Holy Cross. He joins us by phone from his home in Santa Monica. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Mr. Allen, before Katrina hit, what were some of the environmental concerns considered most pressing for the area?
I think a number of us have heard of the infamous Cancer Alley corridor between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, in which it's just lined with various petrochemical plants that for a long time have just spewed all sorts of toxicants into the air. We have a degraded Cypress Tupelo swamp area in the Lower Ninth Ward. It's been a litany and a list of various environmental concerns. But more than anything, we see this as a good post-Katrina opportunity to rewrite a lot of these wrongs and make our overall situation a lot better here.
Matt, Global Green held a sustainable design contest last year to find an architectural team to build a housing complex in the Ninth Ward. Talk to me about the contest and how did you select the Holy Cross neighborhood as the area to start rebuilding in a green way?
Well, we had embarked upon trying to reach out and help the city of New Orleans fairly early on, and we looked around and asked for different suggestions for neighborhoods to work with. And one of the neighborhoods that popped up immediately was Holy Cross. We had determined quickly that this was a neighborhood that really decided that sustainability, green building, and changing the course of how they rebuild, how they see their community in the Lower Nine, being part of a different kind of future was something we wanted to be part of and help with. So we picked a site for our competition in the Holy Cross neighborhood and then made the determination we should actually go ahead and build the winning design.
The winner of the competition, Green NOLA, created a design to build a handful of single-family homes and an apartment building with about a dozen units, and there's a community center in the complex. Can you just talk, and I understand it's a very complicated sort of thing, but can you talk a bit about some of the techniques or the ideas that make these structures environmentally friendly?
In the design as it stands today, we have several features that are going to make the homes healthier. Asthma rates are astronomically high. Indoor air quality is often, if not the cause, then the trigger for asthma attacks. And energy bills are often the second highest cost a family faces any month. So we're cutting energy bills by 75% by having 100% of electricity needs made created by the solar panels, creating much more energy efficient air conditioning, reducing water use and reducing that water bill. And some of those technologies are pretty simple. They're just carpets and interior materials that don't create indoor air pollution. In some cases, they're a little more expensive than you normally put in an affordable house, but we're going to see if we can lower those costs further so they can be applied in the other homes.
Well, that raises a question for me, which I'd like to ask Mr. Allen about, which is that often entities that are cheaper to run or that are more environmentally efficient or more economically efficient to run cost more up front. Sometimes a more energy-efficient, say, appliance, it's cost more upfront, even though the operating costs are less. But doesn't that raise a question, Mr. Allen, that's so much to deal with in trying to get New Orleans back on its feet? I just wonder if there's any feeling about the time and energy that is spent to do something like this, as laudatory as it may be. Perhaps that time, energy, and resources could be used just to getting more people back into homes, building more quickly, as opposed to trying to be innovative.
That's true, but you know, we're starting at ground zero here, post-Katrina, and as much as possible, we still try to communicate, educate, and inform our people that while we're starting from ground zero, rebuilding from the bottom up, if you can take those extra steps and measures and make those larger investments early on, in the long term, you will save. And so, you know, we realize what we're up against. You know, we realize what the price of short-term pleasures, immediately get in, move in, versus long-term. but we still see this as a good opportunity early on to just hit home the message that going an extra mile will pay off in the end.
Mr. Peterson, do you ever have a concern, and I guess, Mr. Allen, I'd ask you this question too, that if another Category 5 hurricane hits, that all these efforts will be for naught?
There's a good chance that New Orleans could be hit or other parts of the Gulf Coast hit again, of course, by a hurricane. The other fact is that global warming is causing sea levels to rise. So we can't slow down. We have to see New Orleans as sort of the front line in the fight against global warming here, that we have to wake up and start getting about the business to protect our people from the future of what climate change could mean to our society.
All right, Mr. Allen, very briefly.
All I can say is amen.
Okay.
To Matt said, we're still living in a vulnerable area down here. There will be, in the future, cousins of Katrina and Rita to knock at our door. If we choose to live down here, let's rebuild smart, let's be sustainable, let's be ready for when those disasters come.
Charles Allen III is the president of the Holy Cross Neighborhood Association in the Ninth Ward. He spoke with us from New Orleans. Matt Peterson is the president of Global Green, a nonprofit environmental organization. He joined us by phone from Santa Monica. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
And as we close out our 2 days of conversations about the struggles and celebrations of those who call New Orleans home, we can't forget the music and the people who make it. Singer Irma Thomas, better known as the Soul Queen of New Orleans, surely counts as one of the performers who defines the city. We last spoke with her in February, just after she won her first Grammy for her 2006 album titled After the Rain. She's with us to talk about how she's doing and the music scene today. She joins us from member station WWNO in New Orleans. Welcome, Soul Queen.
It's my pleasure being with you.
When we spoke last, you were just maybe a day from receiving your Grammy. Have you come down off your Grammy high?
No. I don't think you ever come completely down. I'm not a person who hides or has an entourage who's guarded by this one or that one. I'm an everyday person who goes out into the neighborhood and do those things I need to get done like every other normal citizen. So I'm getting the congratulations from my folk here in New Orleans on a daily basis. So when am I going to come down? Never.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. And I was going to ask, where have you put the Grammy in your home? And that reminds me that when we last spoke, you had not been able to move back into your home. So where are you living?
I've been back into my home since April. I moved in a week before the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival so I could be close to home. I moved into the one room in the half bath that we had put together so we could be in and wouldn't have to commute back and forth to the, you know, from Gonzales, Louisiana, where I was at the time that I'd gone to the Grammys. And where I did not have a mantle around the fireplace, there is a mantle where the Grammy has a special spot all its own.
Okay. So you got that mantle. A good reason to get your mantle back so you can put your Grammy and gaze at it. Do you hug it? And
I've come to the point where I truly appreciate, and I have to come to the point of tears every time I say it, because who in their right mind would think that at 66 years of age, I'd still have a viable career and still be receiving, you know, awards of this nature, just being who I am.
After the Rain, of course, the album for which you won the Grammy, it was actually the as I recall you telling me, it's a collection of songs that was compiled largely before the storm, but it turned out to be kind of incredibly apt for in describing what it was like after the rain.
Yes.
You want to sing something?
We're queued up to do something.
All
if
right.
You just insist. If you're insisting,
I insist.
We'll do it.
I insist. I insist, my queen.
Well, why don't we do In the Middle of It All?
All right.
My house is a lonely house, but it once was a happy house, and the two of us, we were so happy, as I recall. But now the rain falls around it, and loneliness surrounds it, and I'm in the middle of it all. My friends look at me and say, I wonder what makes the girl that way, the girl doesn't even smile at all. But I what my friends would say if their world just came down one day and they were in the middle of it all.